Instead of the regular sikh on the parsha, I want to look at world events through the sikhs of the Rebbe regarding Iraq. That the fact that on Shabbos, Saddam Hussein was hanged, which is a question by some people how much of an issue it is and how relevant it is and what difference it makes. But if you look at it from the Rebbe's sichas, it's really something major, and it really should mean a lot to us. The paper you're holding in your hand is, as you see on top, Shabbos Parshas Bo Yitov Shinun Aleph. Parshas Bo Yitov Shinun Aleph, that was during the Persian Gulf War. It was still before the war was over. It was during the fighting. And that Shabbos, the first lines on top, the Rebbe starts off by saying, Aderech HaRagil, Maschilim Parsha Shavua. Normally we speak about the Parsha of the week. Parsha Shavua, Parsha's Bay. Shamaschil, Parsha's Bay begins with Bayo Pare, Hainuk, Meshikosa, Bezoyar. Zoyar is Yazhiru. Zoyar is to make everything lichtik. It should be lit up. Masha Moshe HaYorei Likonis LaArmein Pare. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to go into Pare's palace. At Shomel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Boy, Pare, come with me to Pare's palace. You don't have to be afraid. In other words, it's all about the Lashon and the Pasuk. Really, it should say, not Boy, Pare, it should say, Tzei, Pare, go to Pare. Boy means come. When he's telling someone to go someplace, it should be, the word you should be come, not go. I mean go, not come. Why does it say boy? So the Zohar says Moshe was afraid to go to Pare's palace, and the Abishah said, boy, come with me. So the Rebbe talks about the significance of a palace. Look at Beis. Istaka Be'eraisa Bora Alma. Everything we look at the Torah, and we see the results in the world. The condition and the situation in the world, what's been happening in the recent days, that we can learn so the Rebbe starts like this. Behagdim, the war against Iraq began by destroying his capital. Bisham Gufa, and in the capital itself, Armin Shalei, destroying his palace. Who are we talking about? Who's his? Whose palace is this? The Rebbe is talking about Saddam Hussein. In other words, the Rebbe is referring and addressing the individual. And we'll soon see why. I mean, the Rebbe explains he's the leader, he's the ruler of the country. So he embodies spiritually the whole entire kingdom, the whole government, the whole entire nation and country. So the Rebbe says they destroyed his palace. Once the palace was destroyed, it destroys the force of this entity. It says in Chazal, Shabo Chaveh Sancherev Udul B'Lasaylam. Sancherev came and he created tremendous confusion in the world, which means what? That we no longer know which nations are really those nations. So Egyptians, we're not sure if these people are really Egyptians. And the same with all the nations, because the people were moved from place to place. So just because they live someplace, we don't know that they're really descendants of the ancient Egyptians, or that these are descendants of the ancient who knows what. Abu Benegei Arot says that's regarding the people, but regarding the land, the geographic piece of land, land doesn't move. Zeu in Shalbaba, this place that's being attacked, this place that's being destroyed, this ruler that's being destroyed is a land that's the land of Babel. The Kan Raim Heksheb al Muhammad's Batim Ashayakola's man Shababel Nigel Yerushalayim. Kmekin Ze Atta. All along throughout history, Babel is the opposite and the counterpart of Yerushalayim. That's the way it always was, and that's the way it's now. In fact, this ruler, what did he always announce? All his announcements and pronouncements regarding Israel was that his goal is to Rahman al-Slan destroy Eretz Yisrael. וזה שאומר חז"ל נשמאל ושלים על מלחונה של צור ועל דרך זה בנגיע לבובל, which means לעסוק פעמיים צורך חס ושולם, that every time that we see that bubble gets a blow, it means Yerushalayim is going to get is going to rise. V'hoi yinitzochen shal Yerushalayim v'anitzochen ach yinitzochen v'atshleimus anitzochen begula mitzvah shleima. So therefore in this case we see the blow that came to Bavel, so by definition it means a victory for Yerushalayim, because Bavel is the enemy of Yerushalayim. Moving, and it's understood, we don't need any proof. We see clearly that his palace was destroyed. So you don't need to prove something, it's a fact. By days and by the palace being destroyed, this person is running around. He doesn't have a place to be, he's wandering. So his words are not with their full power. It's not the same like he's in his palace. A palace is a permanent place of the king, of the ruler. That's the way it was in Basra, the palaces that are in Basra. They also destroyed the communications with all other parts of the country. We have to have trust in Hashem. By day there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpi b'tei b'anira v'anigla v'nasa l'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'yair b'mashveisam, that we're going to have light and menuchas ha'nefesh v'aguf, peace, just like it was with the Yidden and Goshen. And this is basically what this means. The destruction of this is the means that Yerushalayim will rise. Tzicha, what the Rebbe is saying is that look what happened in those days. Nothing happened to him yet. All that happened was that his palace was destroyed. And all that happened that he didn't have a permanent place to be anymore. He didn't have his designated place and he was wandering. And yet the Rebbe looks at this as an amazing thing, that this is a blow to Bavel, and the blow to Bavel means the rise of Yerushalayim. So we have to understand from this that if he was not just wandering, but he was defeated in a way that he was captured, it's a much greater blow to him and a much greater blow to the Klipa of Bavel, which on the other hand means that the rise of Yerushalayim has to be greater. And I guess if it comes to the point where he's totally eliminated, then it's even a greater blow to him, the complete blow to him personally, which means the blow to Bavel. That was one sicha. Then we know there was another sicha, which was, if I can give this out, this is ready after, this is sicha after the war was over, after the war was won. Part of that's what happened then was the defeat was that he had to surrender Kuwait, which he captured, right? How did the war start? He captured Kuwait. And then America got involved and forced him to give it up. So there was a war that forced him eventually to give. But during that war, the Rebbe says the mere fact that he was forced, this was during the war, before it ended. Later he went back to his palace. So what do we see from this? The Rebbe's words are not in vain. It means the fact that for that time period he was received such a blow that his palace was broken, he had to run around, meant that there was already something happened to the Klipa of Bavel. True, later he went back to the palace. So now I'm showing you another sikh, which is after the war was over. This sikh is after the war was over, where the line is on the bottom. So the Rebbe concludes, after talking about what's going on, all the fears that he didn't have were just blown away with the wind. There's nothing to be afraid of. As we saw this Purim, that there was a Nes Goli and people aren't really paying attention. Purim was the day that the war in Iraq, the Persian Gulf War, ended. That was the day on Purim that it ended. But Purim Zu, in this Purim, his battle Hamenagit to Bnei Yisrael, the enemy of the Jewish people, became battle. Atkadei Kach, not he was an enemy and a threat to us spiritually, more than that he was a threat physically on the lives of the Yidden, because he made all these pronouncements of what his intentions were. The Purim Batal Metziusa, in other words, the day Purim that he surrendered, that's his defeat. He had to run away. Then the Rebbe writes, it's not known whether he's still alive. Then the Rebbe smiled, and the Rebbe said, this is shaykh more to those that read the newspapers, and not for chassidus shifabrengen. So I'm not going to go into it whether he's alive or not. But the Rebbe said that. Ela shabazer roim nisim gluyim mamish. But we did see open miracles. At shegam benegei lo misoylem hayu bazan nes or pelachi godl. Even the goyim recognized that it was a nest, not only for Yidden, because he threatened to do who knows what to Eretz Yisrael, but even the Americans and all the other nations who were involved in this war, they saw miracles with themselves. Why? They had announced that this is going to be one of the biggest wars. They made the biggest preparations for a big war. At the time it wasn't known, but later they said on the radio that America prepared, Rahman al-Islam, 40,000 body bags, because that's what they would thought, who knows what's going to happen. After all that, after Chalukas Tapkidim and Anshi Atzav, they gave out all the missions for the military people. And after they made their assumption, Kamazman, how long the war will be, Kara Hanes Shalosh Shur, a miracle happened and no one expected it. Shemiyad Lacha Preitza Muhammad Aramu Babel, right after the war broke out with Babel, pretty much close to the beginning, they already announced that it's finishing. And we saw Bepoel the Nitzachon on Babel, Bizman Achikotzer, in a very short time, and hardly any Kabbalah. There were less than 100 casualties in the United States when they prepared Rahman Islam for 40,000. And the Rebbe goes on, you can see the word Babel in quotes. The Rebbe continues to say that Iraq is Babel, the destruction of Iraq is the destruction of Babel, and so on. So when they gave in the Sikha, and they were ready to print this, they wrote the Rebbe writes, we don't know if he's alive, how could they write this? The information that we have outside is that he is alive. So you can't publish something like this. So the Rebbe's words were not to publish it. And the Rebbe said, Oit chazayin lemayit, which means there'll be a time in the future for this prophecy, for this vision. This is not published. This is the unpublished sikh. We all heard it, so it doesn't matter. But to publish it and print it in the newspaper, that the Rebbe didn't allow it. It was taken out. So the Rebbe said, Oit chazayin lemayit. So what is Oit chazayin lemayit? There'll come a time when this will be fulfilled. And the time that it was fulfilled is when? This Shabbos. I just want to say there's another amazing thing about these words, Oit chazayin lemayit. I'd like to give this out. The words, it's a quote from Habakkuk, Navi. And when you look at the pasuk and what Rashi says, it's even more amazing. You can give this out, thank you. The difference between a person dying a natural death and dying this way is, a natural death doesn't mean that he was defeated. But when his enemies capture him, what Rashi says, here's the pasuk, it's pasuk gimel, there's two sides to the sheet. Pasuk gimel, ki oit chazayin lemayid, which again means there's yet a future for this prophecy. In the future you'll see the prophecy. Hashem will arrange this, the end. In other words, this end will come. It won't be denied. It won't be a lie. You'll see it really happening. However, if it'll be delayed, time will go by and it's still not happening. Don't wait for it. Don't give up. It's going to happen, and it won't be pushed off. In other words, what's going to happen? Look at Rashi. What's going to happen? Look at Rashi. Says, "Oid osid lokum navi leketz shanim." In the future, there'll be a navi that's going to rise at the end of the galus, at the end of days. She is galul lechazayin. He's going to have a vision, and the vision is going to be Masayi Hamayid Mapolas Bavel. When Bavel's going to have its downfall, Ugulas Yisrael, when the Yidden are going to go out of galus. And the Rebbe's words, the Giz Mangulaskam, since the Persian Gulf War, is all about these two things. Babel is going to have a defeat, and Yidden are going out of Golos. That's when it began. These two things, clearly we see how the two things go together. So, that's again another point where we see that that we should really be b'simcha meim. It's not one of those things we have to put in the newspaper or say it on the radio, but for us, and especially Lubavitch Chassidim, because practically somebody could say he's been in jail so long, he's out of power, what's the difference if he was hanged, he wasn't hanged? Practically it makes no difference anymore at this point. But spiritually, if we look at him, that he's the embodiment of a klipa, that means when he was in jail, Bubba was in jail, and when he was hanged, it means Bubba was defeated, finally, because he is now the ruler of Bubba. That's besides the point, which we all know, that this is something which he himself, for some strange reason, always claimed that he is the reincarnation of the Nebuchadnezzar. And he named his battalions the Nebuchadnezzar, and he called some of them Tammuz, all to bring out these points. And we mentioned this in the other class, I think everyone by now knows this, that it's also amazing to point out that he was captured on Yutis Kislev, his trial began on Yud Beis Tammuz, and his death penalty was confirmed on Hei Tevis, and he was killed and hung on Erev Asara B'Tevis. He was captured on Yutis Kislev, his trial began on Yud Beis Tammuz, and then they gave him the death penalty, but it was always, you know, there's appeals or whatever. And the Hei Teves, it was confirmed last week, Tuesday, it was confirmed. And then a few days later, that was it. And when did it happen? The day right before Asara B'Tevis, which is the beginning of Golas Bavel. Asara B'Tevis is the day that Nebuchadnezzar began the Golas Bavel. That's when it began. It's the first of all the fast days. That's why this fast day is the harshest. We know the Rebbe says something amazing about Asara B'Tevis that we're not aware of. That Amalek Yitzhakim, years ago, when they were able to do the new moon by the moon, not by the calendar, it was possible for Asara B'Tevis to come out on Shabbos. Today it's not possible. It can never come out on Shabbos. If Asara B'Tevis would come out on Shabbos, you'd have to fast even on Shabbos. And how do we know this? Because it's a pasuk. Asara B'Tevis is not an ordinary fast day. It's a fast day that's found in Tanakh, that the Nevi'im instituted. And it's called Tzoyim HaAsiri, the fast day of the 10th month. And it says, Be'etzim HaYom HaZeh, in reference to Nebuchadnezzar having Yerushalayim under siege. So the Gemara says that it says, Be'etzim HaYom HaZeh by Asara B'Tevis. It says, Be'etzim HaYom HaZeh by Yom Kippur. So Asara B'Tevis is as harsh as Yom Kippur. And just Yom Kippur, you fast even on Shabbos. Asara B'Tevis, you even fast on Shabbos. So Asara B'Tevis, the Rebbe wants to explain, why Tak is it so harsh? After all, it's the least of all the things. One fast day is because they destroyed Beis Hamikdash, that's Tisha B'Av. It's not so harsh. Another fast day is they destroyed Yerushalayim, and they broke through Yerushalayim, is also not so harsh. Asara B'Tevis was only the beginning. They didn't destroy anything. They just had Yerushalayim under siege. Why is that the harshest? And the Rebbe explains, because this was the beginning. Beginnings are the harshest because it doesn't look so severe, it doesn't look so serious, it's a little thing that I'm doing. I mean, the Rebbe is interpreting this spiritually, that when Chas V'Shalom, a person's Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, it doesn't always start with something harsh. It starts up with a little deviation from the right path. You deviate from the right path a little bit, and at that point, you don't pay so much attention to it because it's not such a big deal, it's just a little deviation. But that little deviation, that's like the beginning that contains all the future that's going to come. Like you look at someone like Moshe Mendelssohn. He was the one who introduced the Enlightenment movement. And we know that he was a frum Jew who learned Torah, davened three times a day. He wrote a commentary on Torah. He was a Torah scholar. He kept Pesach and Shabbos and Yontif. He's the beginning of the Reform movement. So that means that all the millions of Jews, not Chas V'Shalom, thousands, millions of Jews that assimilated from then till now, it's all because of what he did. And at the time that he did what he did, it wasn't so black and white, it was subtle. Some people supported him, some people were against him, because it wasn't so clear where he's wrong. But what he did was he deviated from pure Torah, traditional Yiddishkeit, and the end result was this, because the beginning, that contains everything. Just like the head of a country contains the whole country, Saddam Hussein contains the whole country, L'Havdil and Kedusha, the Melech, contains the whole Jewish nation. So too, the beginning of a downfall contains the whole thing. So therefore, this Asara B'Tevis is the beginning of the whole Golas Bavel. And when was Bavel defeated, the way the Rebbe says here? the final defeat before Mashiach, dafka the day before that, which means that it comes together. And there's another thing here, which is, of course, very significant, that we've been promised that not only the fast days will be eliminated, they'll be transformed into becoming a yontif. They'll become a simcha day. So here we see it, that this day, which represents the day that Golos Bavel began, now it represents the day that Golos Bavel is being defeated. And not defeated because Yidden are destroying him, his own nation and his own people and his own country destroyed him. Which we know that this is even a bigger miracle. How do we know it's a bigger miracle? What? From Pesach. That it says that the reason why when the firstborn attacked Egypt is considered a very big miracle, and that's why Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol, is because it's different than the other miracles. The other miracles, Hashem destroyed Mitzrayim. And the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. This miracle is where Mitzrayim itself destroyed Mitzrayim. That's a much bigger miracle. And here also the same thing, Iraq destroyed Babel. So that's the coming in a time which is the opposite of the time of mourning. And again, at the time of the war, all these things were publicized a lot. But since then, a lot of people forgot it. So this is a good reminder. Just want to show you this. This is also a Shabbos Bay, but this is the Sikha that was published. And the Sikha that published Rabbi also talks about Iraq. But if you look at the footnote 106, the Rebbe brings the Zayar. I'll read the words. It says, Minin b'nei Yishmael l'sara karbin takifa ba'alma. There's going to come a time when the Arabs are going to wage a very strong war in the world. And when that's going to happen, Yisar Amachada Misayf Alma, another nation is going to come from the other end of the world to attack these Arabs, which is America. The war is going to last for 3 months, which is exactly how much the war lasted, the first Persian Gulf War. And then Hashem is going to come upon them, upon Babel, like it says, Ki Zebach Lashem Bebotzra. There's going to be a slaughter in Botzra, the Botzra Maksiv, and after that it says Hashem will destroy them, and Hashem will bring all the nations to turn towards Hashem. So clearly the Rebbe associated the Persian Gulf War with all these inyanim, and I think what's even more interesting is, another interesting thing is, in the Sikh of Tavshinun Beis, Shabbos Pashas Vayigash, the date is Zayin Tevis. It's a week after Chanukah. It's the time of Tevis. There's a whole segment in this Sikha of Vayigash, this Shabbos, about Haman, Achashverosh, and about hanging Haman. So that also is the Pashas and Nebuah from the Rebbe then was printed in this Shabbos about hanging Haman. Exactly the Shabbos Vayigash, Tavshinun Beis. Where does the Rebbe speak about it? The Rebbe is comparing Yehuda standing up with all the force against Yosef. Yosef was the ruler of Mitzrayim, and Yehuda was represented the Jews. It's like Mordechai stood up against Achashverosh, the same idea. But in that whole discussion, the Rebbe brings a medrash. It says in the Megillah, these are the words of the Megillah, Achashverosh made a suda, laseis kirtzayin ish v'ish, that you can do, everybody can do whatever they want. Ish v'ish means every person can do what they want. What does ish v'ish mean? So the Gemara says, whoever wants to follow what Mordechai wants, you can do what Mordechai wants if you're Jewish. If you're not Jewish and you want to do what Haman wants, you can do what Haman wants. That's what it says. Mordechai ish Yehudi, and Haman is ish tzar v'ayev. So Achashverosh left it open. You're at my party. You can join whoever you want. You can click to Mordechai, who is a Jew, and you can click to Haman, who hates the Jews. So the Medrash says, Amalek Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what Hashem said. It's such an accomplishment to be able to accommodate all my creation, and you want to make lasses kitzayin ish v'ish to accommodate both. What does it mean? It's customary in the world that if two people want to marry the same woman, they can't. Either she'll marry this person or she marries that person. The same woman can't marry two people. If if there's a boat, if there are two boats, one wants to go to the north and one wants to go to the south, and you need a wind to blow it, you can't have the same wind blowing them in both directions. Either it's going to go north or it's going to go south. Then he gives a third mashal. Then the Eibishter says, tomorrow two people are going to come to you to be judged. One is Mordechai, Ish Yehudi, and the other one is Haman, Ish Tzar Va'ayev, the enemy, the passionate enemy of the Jews. Is it possible to accommodate both? It's not possible. Ella, these are the words in the Sikha. This one you have to take and raise him, and this one you have to take and hang him. This is in the Sikha 12 years ago, not 12, Tavshin and Beis, 16 years ago, right? 15 years ago. And Ahasuerus made a mistake that he was thinking he can accommodate two opposite things at the same time. Then the Sikha goes on. It's not so much going into the other details of the Sikha, but it's amazing that in the Sikha, Shabbos Parsha Vayigash, which were pretty much under the spirit of Hanukkah more than Purim, there's a whole segment on Purim, and not only on Purim, but what the Medrash says that Haman has to be hanged and Mordechai is going to be raised. So we see this clearly as a nevuah from the Rebbe, but everything that's going on and what's happening, and that this Shabbos will be time, will be Zeichet, so we see with our eyes that Haman was hanged. Now we have to see with our eyes that Mordechai and Kedusha and Yerushalayim and the Yidden are going to be raised to the place where they're supposed to be raised, to have the Yidden of Gula. That's where we're holding. So that's why I'm saying that even though on the surface one might say, why is it so significant what happened to him? But based on the Rebbe's Sichas, and that is the way we learn how to judge things and how to evaluate things, this is an event that's negeah to the whole Inyan of Gula. It's the defeat of Babel. Right. Everybody's against the war. Americans are against the war. The president of America is losing his popularity because he's fighting the war, but he's still fighting the war. So I guess what could we see from this? We see more that it's the hand of Hashem that's leading the war, and it's all about destroying that Melucha of Babel, and it's no longer going to be the continuation of Malchus Babel. That's exactly, it makes it even stronger when you see what's going on. It's not logical in a certain way, why is America doing this and why are they going into this? And not only that, to a certain extent, again, I'm not into the political issues, but the whole thing was because he had nuclear weapons, right? And Koyokho, they discovered there's no such thing. So you should be so embarrassed, just back out and go back home. No, go right there, continue. We have another reason to kill him. It's as if the Abish is just leading him, laid Molochim, Visarim, Biyad Hashem, he has no choice. And he's going forward with doing it because that's what's supposed to happen, the destruction of Babel. So what are we supposed to take out of it if the war in Babel then was something which should bring us Simcha? And it's a sign that the Hine Egiyas Mangolaschem. So the fact that the rule of Babel was totally eliminated, I'm not talking about the fact that he was an enemy of the Jews and he was eliminated. That's enough of a simcha. Like when Haman was killed, it's a yanta for the Yidden. It's even deeper than that. This is something which is relevant to the whole union of Geula, because it's the downfall of Babel. Babel is blocking our redemption. And when Babel is out of the way, our redemption moves on. And that's what the Rebbe says. And the Rebbe says, this is Babel. I don't have the sheet here in front of me, but in Machon Chana, when we had the class, I had that sheet. Again, just reminded myself of old things, that the second time Iraq was attacked, when was that? That was after Purim, in 1993. And here too, we saw a very, very unusual thing, that after the war was over on Purim, and Tezayin Adar, 2 days later, the Rebbe gave a bracha that America should be successful in their war against Iraq. The war was over. We just read the words, the war was over on Purim. And yet the Rebbe said America should be successful in the war against Iraq. So, again, this is part of the Oit Chazayin Lamayit. And the amazing thing was that the Sikha was set on the 16th of Adar, and the war against Iraq in 1993 was launched on the 16th of Adar. That's when it started. The second war. When America went into Iraq a second time. So we see that again, an open prophecy from the Rebbe. And then at that time someone published the word that's from a different angle. This is Babel. It's all connected. Someone published from a sefer called Bnei Yisachar, which is a Polish Rebbe, that he writes that they have a tradition that the destruction of Amalek is going to take place in a 30-day period, and it's going to start after Purim, and it's going to end Erev Pesach, And it gives a reason why it's 30 days. He calculates how many hours it is, and it turns out to be a gematria of Amalek. And again, the second war against Iraq started right after Purim, and it ended Erev Pesach, right before Pesach, the second three. So anyway, this is part of the process. In other words, everything is going on as planned. We're going ahead. We're advancing, Baruch Hashem, because we have no way of, now when you say Mashiach is coming, is imminent, there's no doubt that all the davening and the learning and the mitzvahs and things we do are bringing Mashiach closer. But in 1991, 92, almost you were able to gauge it. Here, communism fell, and another miracle here, the Scud missiles, we saw miracles after miracles. Every time the Rebbe spoke, that was another hisgalus, another revelation from the Rebbe about Mashiach and about Geulim and Nachushma. The Rebbe spoke so open, it just brought out in a more clear way. It manifested how we're making progress and moving forward. Now, we don't have all these things, but when we see something like this happen, that the rule of Babel was defeated totally, to us, that's another way of gauging how we're moving forward. Now, this doesn't say anywhere in a sikha, this is just a sharing a thought, my own thought, is that it happened the day before Asara B'Tavis. Asara B'Tavis, the Rebbe told us, Tavshim Mem Zayin, and I think at other occasions as well, that these are 30 days before Yud Shvat, and that's when we start preparing for Yud Shvat. What's Yud Shvat? That's the day that the Rebbe's Malchus began. So if Babel is the interference and what blocks Geula of Yidden, that means the Malchus of Babel, once that's eliminated, allows the Malchus of Mashiach to rise. So maybe that's the connection, that Erev Asara B'Tavis is the end of Malchus Babel, and from Asara B'Tavis, the 30 days before Yud Shvat starts, and we should see it, the Goli, the complete Hisgalus of the Rebbe's Malchus.